Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And again, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read out of respect to God and His Word. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the kind of piggybacks on the subject that we just were on. I'm going to speak to you about this, about what kind of a friend are you? What kind of a friend are you? And we're going to give some godly principles for friendship. What kind of a friend are you? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 says this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come here today and present your word. I submit myself to the Holy Spirit right now. I pray for your help. I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your guidance. I pray, God, if there's a person in here today that's unsaved, that they might get saved. If there's a person in here today who's out of fellowship with you, that their fellowship will be restored. And Lord, there may be people in here today that really need to understand what it means to be a Spirit-controlled person. I pray right now that you'll help me. I need your help. I pray for the Holy Spirit's power. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Some godly principles on friendship. Now, you know, a great thing to do is encouragement of others, as we saw in the morning service. But what kind of a friend are you? Now, you know, that's kind of a question that's a little, it's a personal question. Okay, but what kind of a friend are you? And what does the Bible say about friends? And, you know, there are people that we counsel that are what the Bible describes as codependent. Okay, there's codependent independent, codependent dependent, and the Bible describes both of those. So a codependent dependent person, which is what I want to talk about today, is a person that has to have a friend, and they have to be their best bud. Okay, now there's, again, keep in mind now, I just want you to understand that in essence, they would go to that friend before they'd ever go to God. Get it? If something came up in their life, they would go to that friend before they would ever go to God. Now, independent, independent is someone who has to, you know, they have to, they are the person who has to be the go-to person. And so then, in essence, they'll try to get information from you about your life. And you know, they'll be the fixer. And, you know, and if you decide that they're getting too close and they're not, you know, doing things well, then they will then, you know, gossip about you and tell everything that they know about you to somebody else. So you got codependent independent, you got codependent dependent, and the Bible describes both. What kind of a friend are you? What kind of a friend are you? So let's see what the Bible has to say about it, all right? So what kind of a friend are you? Now, The Bible says quite a bit about friends. And the friendship is an important part of our lives. Now, God wants us to be the right kind of a friend. And to be a good friend, we're going to have to be a spirit-controlled person. Okay? Number one is I have to be a spirit-controlled person. Many people have a world of hurt in their lives because they choose the wrong friends. They become dependent on the wrong friends rather than being a spirit-controlled person with spirit-controlled friends. Now, turn back to Romans chapter 15 with me. And I know some of you have heard this before. I want to start with verse 1. It says, and this is the passage of Scripture that got us into biblical counseling. It says in Romans 15, 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Okay, so somebody has to be a person who's going to try to help people. Amen? So we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now notice verse 2. What's the first word in verse 2, folks? Let. That means somebody's got to make a decision here. So let every one of you, and piggybacks on what I said this morning in the message, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification, building up, encouraging. So let means I got to make a decision. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And notice verse 3. It says, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So all the sins of the world fell on Christ. Okay? The whole sins of the world fell on our Savior. But he went to the cross to please himself. Aren't you glad he went to the cross? Yeah. And so he went to the cross not pleasing himself, but he did it so that you could have salvation, that you could have eternal life, and that you could have a life that would be spirit-controlled and honoring, pleasing to God. Now look at verse 4, very important here. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's before you and I got here, were written for our what, folks? Learning. So God wants us to what? Learn. Okay? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So now God wants us to learn and he wants us to have hope. See it? He wants us to learn, he wants us to have hope. So where's the answer for your life at? In the Scriptures. You're going to find the answers to your life in the Scriptures. Now look over at verse 13. Pastor, I think, sent me a note this week and put that verse in there. Imagine that. Now, the God of hope, and he is the God of hope, filled who? You. With all joy and peace. So God wants us to have hope. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have peace. Now, did you notice the next phrase there? It says, in believing. So you're going to have to believe that he wants you to have hope, joy, and peace rather than going around all the time looking like, you know, oh dear, oh my, it's going to be another horrible, very bad day. Somebody bought me the book, Alexander and the No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Day, and gave it to me as a gift. So I just put it up on the bookcase in my office so when everybody came in, they could see Alexander and the No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Day. Well, you know, God doesn't want you to have no good, horrible, very bad days. He wants you to have hope, joy, and peace in your life.
That's right.
Now you got to believe that. Okay? And then you got to make good decisions based on what God's Word says, not how you feel. Okay? Because feeling-led people are always out of fellowship people. And so they do things based on how they feel, not on what God says and not being a spirit-controlled person. Satan wants to control your emotions. And if he can control your emotions, he can control your will, so he can control your decision-making. Okay? So now it's very important here that we understand that God wants us to have hope, joy, and peace. Now watch. And so notice that it says, that ye may abound in hope. So if I'm going to abound in hope, I've got to know how to have hope in my life. And then I want to share with other people how they can have hope in their life. Amen? Amen. You know, I don't want to go around here looking like, you know, oh dear, oh my, you know, and or looking like, you know, lost my best friend, you know, or whatever. The bottom line here is I want to look at this like, you know what? Who am I to encourage today? I want to be a spirit-controlled person. I want to be the person who can help other people rather than the one that always has to be helped all the time. Amen? Now, we're going to see some interesting things here now, okay? Now, watch what it says, because here's the big player in the room right now. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you see it? So the Holy Spirit is the big player in this room right now. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you at least one spiritual gift. Okay? And the reality of it is I do need to understand what those are and use them in the... Most people that are in an independent Baptist church don't have a clue. So now what we want to understand is that we need to recognize that God, we're saved to use our gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us so that we can be an encouragement to other people. So what kind of a friend are you? Are you the one that listens to gossip all the time? Are you the one that is always talking about something you shouldn't be talking about? Are you the one who's always focused on the negative? Now, did you see Pastor Miller's suit today? Or did you see how Mrs. Miller was dressed today? Well, is that any of your business? Honestly. Now, I mean, if he comes in his night clothes, that's a different thing. But I mean, get it? The whole point here is that you'll focus on things that mean nothing. And then you'll make a big deal out of it. So what kind of a friend are you? Now, we're going to find out exactly what the Bible says about this. But I want you to understand that, you know, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. And he's here to help you. And you know, in the back of the book back there, Do You Have a Critical Spirit? The Sin That Hurts. We have written the 70 things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life with the scripture references. And so when our counselees go through that booklet, we have them to go through and write down 30 things that they learned or thought was important. And then we have them come back the next week, and in the list in the back, we have them pray and ask God to show them from this list things that they would like the Holy Spirit to do in their life. Now, if I ask a person in an average independent Baptist church, tell me what the Holy Spirit does in people's lives, I might get a couple of things, but there's 70. So if I'm ignorant of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life, then I'm not going to be focused on listening to what he has to say about it, right? Get it? So I need to be focused on it, and I need to understand that it says here through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's the big player in the room right now. Now, you know, I have to learn to control my thoughts, and I'm going to digress here for just a second, because I want you to go back to John chapter 14 with me. And we've been using this quite a while now with our counselees. John chapter 14. Now, keep in mind what I just said. The Holy Spirit is the big player in the room right now. All right, now look with me at John chapter 14 and look at verse 26. Notice what it says. Well, let's start down at verse 27 and look at the last sentence in verse 27. What is the first word in verse in the last sentence of verse 27? Yeah. Means what?
Decision.
Somebody's got to make a decision. Now, notice what it says. This is Jesus Christ speaking just before he goes back to heaven. And the Holy Spirit is now on the scene. He's coming to the scene. And notice what he said. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now notice then, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is who? Holy Ghost. So when you see that capital C there, Comforter, that's one of the names for the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So if I want to be a godly Christian and to be a good friend, you know, when I open my Bible every day, I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. So I'm going to ask him to teach me. Every day. Give me your message for me today. Show it to me. Make it real in my heart. Now, do you think that if I ask him that, he's going to do it? Because he's the master teacher, right? So I'm going to ask him to teach me. Show me his message for me today. And it's just going to pop right out of that verse right there. And you're going to sit there and go, wow. Instead of reading your Bible through in a year, you know, three chapters in the old, two chapters in the new, and you don't even know what you read. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. I want him to show me what he has for me. I want it to be real in my life. I want it to be real in your life. Now, I can't do it for you. I can tell you, but I can't do it for you. You've got to be willing to submit to the Holy Spirit. The key to victory in your life and in my life is submission to the Holy Spirit. I want to submit myself, you know, just like speaking here, I said I want to submit myself to the Holy Spirit right now. I want him to be the teacher today, not me. Get it? So now, you know, a lot of the things that I talk about, I learned from asking the Holy Spirit to show this to me. And a lot of times the articles that I'll write will be something that will come that the Holy Spirit showed me in my daily time with him that, hey, this will be good for other people, so I'm going to write it and send it out. But it was the Holy Spirit that did the teaching. Amen?
Amen.
And so I learned it. And I'm going to give it out to somebody else. Now, so notice here it says, and I want you to think about this, Satan is going to attack your mind. And he's a master at this. 1 Peter 5 says that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I was speaking about a year ago in an independent Baptist college and speaking to students. And so in 1 Peter 5 it says, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Contextually, that passage is to Christians. So I said to the students and the teachers that were in there, who does Satan want to destroy? Who's he going after here? Yes, Christians, but what kind of Christian? Those who are out of fellowship with God. Now, unfortunately, the guy who was the president or the director of the Bible college said, strong Christians. And I said, are you serious? Now, sure, he's going to come after strong Christians, but quite frankly, if you're handling yourself by being a spirit-controlled person, he's got a whole lot more people he can deal with other than you. Amen?
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
And so he's going after those that are Christians that are out of fellowship with God. So you need that means you need to understand that every day you're going to have to be in fellowship with God so that you can be the right kind of a friend. Now, here's what I want you to get. Every day Satan is going to come along and try to pop at you. He's going to try to get in your mind. And you're going to have thoughts that come to your mind. Some people says, I never have any thoughts come to my mind. You know? Well, but you know what? You're going to have thoughts that come to your mind, and you can be out of fellowship with God by what you think. So you're going to have thoughts that come to your mind. So how are you going to deal with them? Well, we teach people, you know, that you got to stop. Can't go here. Think. Okay? I got to do what is proper here with this. Stop, think, submit. I want to submit myself to you right now. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? I want to submit to the Holy Spirit right now. And by the way, the moment you say, I want to submit to the Holy Spirit right now, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he, the Holy Spirit that's in you, than he, Satan, that's in the world. So you have the Holy Spirit's power the moment you say, I want to submit myself to you. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, the Holy Spirit. And what's Satan going to do? He's going to flee from you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I'm going to have to take control of my thoughts. But let's just say that you're getting one that just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. Now, Satan realizes that he can keep coming after you with that. So I want you to notice what Jesus said here in verse 27. This is our Lord speaking so that we can know it right before he went back to heaven. And notice what he said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So, when I'm having that, you know, that boom, 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 boom thing, you know, okay, I want to stop right now, and I would like to have your peace, please. I'd like for you to calm my mind, I'd like for you to calm my soul right now. And you know what the counselees tell us? Perfect peace. It's like, wow. Jesus said, my peace I leave for you. So use it, amen? So ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Use it. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And by the way, one of Satan's things that he wants to go after is to make you afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that, you know, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're letting Satan bombard you with these thoughts, you're not going to have what? Sound mind. Because you're always going to be upset about this or upset about that or upset about something else. So to be a good friend, I've got to learn how to have peace in my life. So what kind of a friend are you? To be a good friend, I'm going to have to learn how to have peace in my life. Now, so let's go on. Now let's go back to Galatians 5, and we're going to look at verse 13. And I want you to, we got some things I want to take a look at. I hope I have time to do that. But I want you to look at Galatians 5 and verse 13 and notice this. Now, it says in verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to what? To the flesh, but by what? Love. Serve who?
One another.
One another. So a good friend is not a person who is walking in the flesh. A good friend is someone who is walking in the Spirit and knows how to love other people. See, it says by love serve one another. Amen? So I'm going to have to focus on that. Look, now watch. Verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So a good friend, a godly friend, cares about you, just like they would care about themselves. Amen? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, now notice verse 15, because here's the person who's not a good friend. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." So here's the person who's not a good friend. They're always biting and devouring. Because when they come and talk to you, it's always about somebody else and how dumb they are. I almost used the word stupid, and Kim doesn't like me to use the word stupid. She doesn't like me to do it. Okay. So, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." That's dumb. Notice verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," be a Spirit-controlled person, "and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And by the way, what is behind your problems is your lusts. And I don't have time to deal with that right now, but Pastor Miller knows that, how to do that, and we'll try to get back to some of that in a minute, but later. Now, notice what it says. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So, in essence, if you're going to bounce back and forth, bounce back and forth, bounce back and forth, you know, so I'm out of fellowship with God for 2 hours today. Then I'm in fellowship with God for an hour. Then I'm out of fellowship for 2 hours. Then I'm back. So get it? You get it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to be a Spirit-controlled person every moment of every day. So it means I'm going to have to be willing to make some decisions at the point of impact. And you're going to have impact moments every single day, every moment that comes up, there's going to be an impact moment here that says, okay, so I'm going to stop, think, submit, turn it over. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? Now watch. Verse 18, "But if be led in the Spirit, you're not in the law." Okay? So that in essence, the Holy Spirit is now guiding you. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." This is an ugly list. "Uncleanness." That is the word that we get for pornography. So it's uncleanness. "Lasciviousness" means unbridled lusts. Your lusts are out of control. "Idolatry." Well, you can have idols of the heart, something that you worship more than God. "Witchcraft," which is it's the same word that we get pharmacology from, so drugs. "Hatred." "Variance." You know, variance means arguing. "Emulations." It's a very ugly word, emulations is. It's ambition to equal or excel others, extreme jealousy. Okay? Ambition to equal or excel others, extreme jealousy. Now, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. Reveling is a very bad word. It's where a person's immoral to the point to having relationships with more than one person at a time. And such like. "And so, which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, let me say this to you. If you can do those things and the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you, you're not saved.
That's right.
Understand?
That's right.
And you're going to hell. That's exactly what it says. So when someone wants to sit here and tell you how great it is to be out here to be immoral and all these other things and you're not convicted about it, they're on their way to hell.
That's right.
"Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." So if a person can do the things in this list and not be convicted by the Holy Spirit, they're a lost person. Now, that doesn't mean that you couldn't do one of these things when you're out of fellowship with God. You're capable of doing all of these things when you're out of fellowship with God. Now, let's go on to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, are gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. A good friend is a long-sufferer. Long-suffering. Now, so notice what it says in verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. It means put to death. With the affections and lust. The word affections here means emotions. Okay, that you're constantly focused on reacting emotionally, which is what Satan wants you to do. And lust. And you go put those away. Now, we don't have time in this time to do this, but let me go on to give you a couple of rules about friends. But there's, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. So in Proverbs 16:28, turn back there with me. Proverbs 16:28. I want you to notice what it says. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. So, rule number one for being a good friend is this. A true friend avoids gossip. A true friend avoids gossip. Amen?
Amen.
Got it? All right. The next one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Turn back there with me if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5. These are rules for good friends. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 11. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. A true friend encourages others. A true friend encourages others. So number one, a true friend avoids gossip. Number two, a true friend encourages others. Now, turn back to Proverbs 17. Look at verse 9. Talking about true friends. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9 is this. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So a true friend forgives and does not hold grudges. So a true friend forgives and not holds grudges. Now let me go back up and go again. Proverbs 16:28, a true friend avoids gossip. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, a true friend encourages others. Proverbs 17:9, a true friend forgives and does not hold grudges. Now look at verse 17 in this chapter. And it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born of adversity. A true friend shows love no matter what. A true friend shows love no matter what. Turn over to Proverbs 27 and look at verse 5. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Notice what it says. Proverbs 27, verse 5 says this. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A true friend rebukes when necessary, but the correction is done in love. I'm going to say that again. A true friend rebukes when necessary, but the correction is done in love. A true friend rebukes when necessary, but the correction is done in love. Now I got two more. Look at Proverbs 27 and look at verse 9 with me. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. A true friend gives good advice, bringing joy to the heart of another person. And then the last one, or that's it. Are you a true friend? Now I'm going to go back over them one more time. In Proverbs 17:9, a true friend forgives and does not hold grudges. In Proverbs 17:17, a true friend shows love no matter what. In Proverbs 27:5-6, a true friend rebukes when necessary, but the correction is done in love. And in Proverbs 27:9, a true friend gives advice, bringing joy to the heart of another person. Are you a true friend this morning? Certainly some questions to ask yourself, right? Be a powerful and positive encourager of people and be a spiritual good friend. Amen? Be a spiritual good friend. Do you know that Jesus said a friend is close, you know, is sticks closer than a brother? And you know, the whole thing here is this. I got to be a spirit-controlled person to be a good friend. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
All right, you sure you're with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's stand together.